ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text number 21. Sutta Uvacha Evam Dharme Pravadati Sa Samrat Vija Sattamaha Samahitena Manasa Vikheda Paryachashtatam Sutta Uvacha Evam Dharme Pravadati Sa Samrat Vija Sattamaha Samahitena Manasa Vikheda Paryachashtatam Sutta Uvacha Evam Dharme Pravadati Sa Samrat Vija Sattamaha Samahitena manasa vikheda paryachashtatam Sutta Uvacha Sutta Goswami said Evam So Dharme Personality of religion Pravadati Thus having spoken, Saha, he, Samrat, the emperor, Dvija Sattamaha, or best among the Brahmanas, Samahitena, with proper attention, Manasa, by the mind, Vikhedaha, without any mistake, Pariyajashta counter-replied tam unto him. Translation by Swami Grishala Prabhupada. Sudha Goswami said, O best among the Brahmanas, the emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied and without mistake or regret he gave his reply. Purport. The statement of the bull, the personality of religion, was full of philosophy and knowledge, and the king was satisfied, since he could understand that a suffering bull was not an ordinary one. Unless one is perfectly conversant with the law of the Supreme Lord, one cannot speak such things touching philosophical truths. The emperor, being also on an equal level of sagacity, replied to the point without doubts or mistakes. Sutta Uvacha Evam Dharme Pravadati Sa Samrat Vijasattamaha Samahitena Manasa Vikheda Paryachashtatam Sutta Goswami said, O best among the Brahmanas, the emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret, he gave his reply. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurindam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So in this verse we see that the personality of religion Dharmaraj shows in the form of a bull has concluded speaking and now it's time for Maharaj Parikshit to make a decision. So as in the purport of the previous verse, it's mentioned that the bull spoke in such a way to test the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit. So in this section we have been hearing that how when Maharaj Parikshit was touring his state to see what's going on in his kingdom, because it's the duty of a king to know what's happening. So even we see like Lord Ramachandra, he would restore his kingdom. And so sometimes kings send spies. So just to see what the people are up to, and the whole idea so they can rule them from a Vedic perspective in a favorable way. So even Ramchandra, he was going around his kingdom, and you know, he didn't hear some good words about himself, and his reputation was spoiled. And then, you know, that's how he decided to end his leela. So the same way, Maharaj Parikshit was touring his kingdom, and then he saw that a Shudra, who was Kali personified, was dressed as a king, was beating a bull and a cow on the banks of the river Saraswati. So then he immediately decided to take action. First he was shocked that something like this was happening in his kingdom, because this was unheard of. Of course, in today's society, such things are very common. Cows, bulls, calves are being killed and tortured. Not only them, so many other animals also, and human beings also. So today this is a common affair, and you know, no one thinks twice about it. And because the cow and the bull, in Vedic culture, they are worshipable. So today if you tell someone that cows and bulls are worshipable, it's very hard for them to understand. In fact, for Westerners, it's very difficult to understand this. They ask a lot of Indians, like when I came to Australia, or sometimes when I even now, when I meet someone for preaching, and they ask, so in your religion or in your country, you worship the cow? And for them, cow means food. Cow is equal to food. And one time we were going to a retreat, and I was with some guests, and then we were driving, and you know, on the way to the farm, there are so many cattle, so much cattle. And they said, look, so much food. He was in so much ignorance, he pointed at the cattle and said, that's so much food. And so it's very difficult for people to understand that a cow in Vedic civilization is considered divine and worshipped. But here Maharaj Parikshit was shocked when he saw that a bull and a cow were being beaten, and they were standing on one leg, trembling and urinating out of fear. And Maharaj Parikshit knew who was the cause for that, because he could see there was Kali standing there with a club and beating them. And he knew that Kali is the cause, and he wanted to kill Kali, but still he asked the bull, tell me who's the perpetrator of your condition, of your present state. And though he knew that, but he wanted a statement of direct accusation against Kali. So then the bull, Dharmaraj, he replied. In other words, Maharaj Parikshit asked, who's the cause of your suffering? So then Dharmaraj, the bull, he replied, and he gave a kind of a complex answer. He's in text 18, it's described that he says, O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused the sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. So here Dharmaraj is referring to the Saddarshana. So there's, in the Vedic times, there was six types of philosophies. And Srila Prabhupada, in the next verse, he also describes him a little bit. So the six great philosophers are Kanada. He is the author of Vaisheshika philosophy. Then there is Gautama, the author of logic. Patanjali, author of mystic yoga. We've all heard of Patanjali, the Patanjali Yoga Sutras. These days Patanjali is quite famous. Kapila, the author of Sankhya philosophy. Not the Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the imposter Kapila. That's why Prabhupada, he said, teachings of Lord Kapila, Kapila Dev, the son of Devahuti. So Prabhupada made that very clear. He said, write that, the son of Devahuti. So people don't get confused with the imposter Kapila, the atheist Kapila. Then there's Jaimini, who's the author of Karma Mimamsa. And then finally Vyasadeva, the author of Vedanta Sutra. So as Bhanu Swami was mentioning that, these six philosophies, they're based on the Vedas. So, and in the modern day we have, there are so many philosophies also. So if you, there's the Western philosophies, and they're more or less based on these, you know, five types, except for Vedanta Sutra. It's more or less the same thing, but just put in other words. But the difference is, they don't refer to the Vedas. Whereas these six of them, they're kind of based on the Vedas. But except for the Vedanta Sutra, the rest are more or less atheistic. Because they do not accept the Supreme Lord. So here, as it's mentioned in the purport of text 19, like Jaimini and his followers, they established that fruitive activity is the root cause of all distress and happiness. In other words, karma mimamsa, that as Gopamindra Prabhu was mentioning, that the demigods are in charge of the material necessities. But what the demigods, they'll only act based on our activity. So, and example is of Indra, as also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Annad Bhavanti Bhutani, that human society is dependent on grains. So we need grains in order to survive. So grains will only come when there is rain. And then rain is dependent on the demigods. And then the demigods are dependent upon sacrifice. Now sacrifice means activity. In other words, if there is no activity, then they won't send forth rain. And that's what we are seeing today. Because there is no performance of yajna or prescribed duties, the rainfall is irregular, or it's not sufficient, or it's too much. So then the Jaimini philosophers conclude, therefore it is activity, and there is no Supreme Lord in charge. It's all dependent upon you, upon how you act. And the laws of nature are there somehow. Based upon your action, you know, the demigods will respond. So you don't need to submit to any demigod. So again, they are discouraging any kind of submission. What to speak of submission to the Supreme Lord. Then there is there's Patanjali. It's all about mysticism, mystic yoga. Then there's the Kapila, as we know, they say that material nature is the cause of everything. So they study material nature in detail. And that's what is more or less happening in the schools of education. Great thinkers and philosophers, the scientists, they are studying material nature, they are analyzing nature, how it works. But of course, the Sankhyaites had more understanding of material nature than our current scientists. But again, they also failed to come to the conclusion that Vishnu is behind the root of material nature. They say that there's Prakriti, Mahatattva, the three modes of nature. Current scientists don't even know that. At least they knew that, but they say, no, it's independent of Vishnu. So, they're also atheist. So therefore we reject these five kinds of philosophies. But the Vedanta Sutra is compiled by Vyasadev, and Vyasadev is the literary incarnation of the Lord. So Vyasadev, he compiled the Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta Sutra means the end of all knowledge, the end of all Vedic knowledge. Veda Anta. And Sutra is very concise, in a concise form, like a formula. But that was also misinterpreted by the Mayavadis. So we know Shankaracharya, he descended some time ago. And he gave his own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, and it's called Sharirka Bhasya. So the Vedanta Sutra was compiled by Vyasadeva because he knew that the people in Kali Yuga, are not very intelligent. They cannot study the Vedas. They are not on the platform of goodness or on the Brahminical platform. Therefore, it's hard for them to study the Vedas. Therefore, he compiled the Mahabharata, the Upanishads, and the Vedanta Sutra. But even after compiling all that, he was not satisfied at heart, as we have read in the previous chapters. And then his Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni, came and he said, you should compile the Srimad Bhagavatam, which delineates the glories of the Lord directly and his devotees. And then he did that. So, but the Mayavadis, Shankaracharya, Shankaracharya is actually not a Mayavadi. Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. We cannot label him as a Mayavadi because he came under the order of the Lord. So Lord Shiva was ordered by the Supreme Lord to descend in Kali Yuga and propagate Mayavad philosophy to bewilder a certain kind of atheists. And that certain kind of atheist is the Buddhists. So the Buddhism is basically it's voidistic philosophy, and Shankaracharya's philosophy is not much different. It's like kind of a covered Buddhism, because they say okay, but the difference is they accept the Vedas at least. So they are bringing people a little forward, because in the during Buddhism, when Buddhism was spread far and wide, Lord Buddha rejected the Vedas, and his followers also rejected the Vedas. So Shankaracharya is gradually bringing them to the path of the Vedas. At least they accept the Vedas. They accept the soul, but ultimately, you know, it's more or less Buddhism, because the soul becomes one with Brahman. So we don't have any identity. So the Mayavadis say that the Supreme Lord, the Mayavadis equate the Supreme Lord with the Jiva. That's what they say. So though Vedanta Sutra is compiled by Vyasadeva, and the Vedanta Sutra has three things, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. So the Vedanta Sutra describes our relationship with the Supreme Lord, the process of reviving our relationship, and the goal, Prayojana, love of Godhead. All this is described in the Vedanta Sutra. But Shankaracharya, on the order of the Lord, he chose the Vedanta Sutra because it's easier to comment on that than on Srimad Bhagavatam. Because on Srimad Bhagavatam is very direct. Whereas Vedanta Sutra, it's in code form, and it's easy to misinterpret that. It's like like the verses in the Upanishads, which say that okay, the Supreme Lord has no hand, legs, form, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have a spiritual form. So they say okay, if it says like this, therefore he has no form. So for them, it's easy to comment on the Vedanta Sutra. So Shankaracharya, he picked the Vedanta Sutra and he commented on it, and that commentary is called the Sharirika Bhasya. And this commentary is very famous amongst the Mayavadis. And we even see in Lord Chaitanya's time, the Mayavadis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they were studying the commentary of Shankaracharya called Sharirika Bhasya. So in which another of his main point of Shankaracharya is that the Supreme Lord transforms, they say. So when the Supreme Lord expands, his energies expands, they say it's not a byproduct of his energies, but it's actually the Supreme Lord gets transformed in the process. So this is a big difference. So as we know, Krishna has so many energies. Krishna expands in his internal, external and marginal potencies. But that doesn't mean the Lord transforms. Transform meaning that he has lost his original identity. So what's actually happening? It's a byproduct of the Supreme Lord. These energies are a byproduct. And then these energies transform again. So this is a major point of difference. So based on these points, they establish that the living entity is one with the Lord. And when the Lord descends, he is simply a product of matter. That's another point to say. So a Mayavadi in the strict sense of the term is one who, as Lord Chaitanya also told Prakashan on the Saraswati, is, in the strict sense of the term, is Mayavadi is one someone who thinks that the name of the Lord is different from the Lord. That's someone who thinks the name, the holy name, is different from the Supreme Lord. That's a Mayavadi. So we, all of us, might be Mayavadis in the strictest sense of the term, because we can see that in our chanting. We take the name to be mundane because our mind is somewhere else. We are not convinced at heart that the name is the Supreme Lord. But the difference is, at least in theory, we accept that the name is the Lord. Therefore we are labeled as Vaishnavas. Whereas the Mayavadis, even their understanding is that no, the name is different from the Lord. And when the Lord descends, he is simply a product of matter. So, but the Vedanta Sutra is very direct. And Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, because when he was a grihastha, he noticed that his preaching was not as effective as he wanted it to be. Because there are certain classes of people who were escaping his net. And then he because when one takes sannyas, actually one offers a lot of respects to a sannyasi. And one looks up and one hears from them. So he thought, if I take sannyas, then it will facilitate my preaching. Then at a very young age, he took sannyas. And then one time he decided to go to Mathura and Vrindavan. So on the way he passed from Benares. And there he stayed at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And he was having lunch at the house of Tapana Mishra. So there he heard so many criticisms. Because Benares is dominated by Mayavadis. Like Benares, Varanasi, these are the seats, hotbed of Mayavadi schools. So there he heard so many criticisms that it is sinful to be chanting and dancing. It's sinful to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, dance and play instruments. So this was the criticism. So they were saying, you know, look at this sannyasi, he's so sinful. He's chanting like this. He's not studying the Vedanta Sutra. And he's just chanting in a sentimental way. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not affected by all these criticisms. So he just continued to Vrindavan, and on his way back, again he stopped at Benares. But this time he stayed for a few days, and I think he instructed Sanatan Goswami also there. And but his devotees were very disturbed by this, and it's natural for devotees to be disturbed when there is blasphemy of the Lord. So Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapana Mishra, they were very disturbed, and they petitioned the Lord that, my dear Lord Chaitanya, please do something about this. Here, we cannot bear to hear this criticism of yours. You have been criticized so severely. And by the Lord's arrangement, one Brahmana came who had invited all the Mayavadi sannyasis to his house for lunch. And only Lord Chaitanya was left out. So he came to invite Lord Chaitanya, though he knew that the Lord will not come, the Lord will not accept an invitation, because all these Mayavadis are there. But somehow he was inspired by the Lord from within to invite the Lord for lunch. So he went there as Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapana Mishra were petitioning the Lord to do something about this criticism. So then the Lord smiled and he accepted the invitation. And the next day, Lord Chaitanya went there to have lunch. So as in Vedic culture, like when you go to have lunch, you wash your hands and you wash your feet. So Lord Chaitanya went there. There was a place where you wash your feet. So he washed his feet there, washed his hands, and he sat down there. So it was like a kind of a dirty space. And then all the Mayavadi sannyasis were seated nearby. And they saw, you know, what's this? He's sitting down in a filthy place. And the leader of the Mayavadis was Prakashananda Saraswati. So there's different kinds of sannyas orders. And Saraswati is considered to be one of the highest ones of sannyas orders. And Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati. So Bharati type of sannyas is a lower rank in sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya is in the Bharati order, when one is called Chaitanya when one is a brahmachari. So when he accepted, when Lord Chaitanya accepted initiation, he did not change his name. So he still kept it Chaitanya. So anyway, the Mayavadi sannyasis were sitting there and they saw Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya exhibited an effulgence from his body. And because the Mayavadis they're attracted to Brahman. So they saw this effulgence emanating from Lord Chaitanya and they were very attracted. So then they all went there and then they requested, they said, you look like the Supreme Lord Narayan. Why are you sitting down there? Come and sit with us. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm a lower sannyasi and you're of a higher order, therefore I cannot sit with you. So because Saraswati is considered to be higher than Bharati, even in the Mayavadi school. So, but then Prakashananda Saraswati, he took Lord Chaitanya by his hand, and Prabhupada mentions in this way he performed some agyata sukriti, he did some service by holding the Lord and bringing him in their midst. And then Prakashananda Saraswati inquired from Lord Chaitanya, you know, you're one of us, you're a Mayavadi sannyasi, why are you not associating with us? You've come to Benares, why are you not associating with us? We have our gatherings, you don't come with us, and you're not studying any Vedanta Sutra, and you're simply chanting and dancing. And this is all sentimentalism. And then Lord Chaitanya replied, and in various verses, he refuted the Mayavadi doctrine. And he basically told him that you're reading the Vedanta Sutra, but you're giving your own interpretation. And the interpretation of Shankaracharya is wrong. So in this way, he smashed refuted all their points, and all the Mayavadi sannyasis were struck with wonder. And they all became disciples of Lord Chaitanya. So when that happened, then the entire Benares was astounded, and then everyone wanted the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And because everyone could not come to see him at his home, and whenever he would visit the... Which temples are there he would go? Do you know, in Benares? It's mentioned. The two temples he used to visit, and then all the people, they would get his darshan on the way to the temple. Because everyone was astounded how Lord Chaitanya converted the Mayavadis, because these were like staunch Mayavadis.
One is Vishwanath Temple.
Yes, Vishwanath Temple. And there's another one also. He would visit these two temples in Benares. So we saw how Lord Chaitanya refuted that. And here, these different kinds of philosophies are described. But they are more or less atheistic, because though they refer to the Vedas, but they have nothing to do with the Supreme Lord. So we are meant to reject those philosophies. So here Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring about the cause of the suffering of the bull, and the bull replies in very indirect ways. So the bull is none other than Dharmaraj, and very in an exemplary way the bull says that In other words, the bull says, all this is happening because of my own misdeeds. So the bull did not say, you know, this is Kali and he is the cause of my suffering. Though the bull could have easily pointed the finger. It was happening right there and Kali was there. So the bull understood that whatever is happening is because of my own misdeeds, And ultimately, all this is sanctioned by the Supreme Lord. So as in the 18th chapter, Krishna describes there are five causes to any action. And again, that is based on Vedanta. So Krishna says, O mighty Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now hear of these from me. So then Krishna says, the place of action, which is the body, the performer, the self, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors of action. So the bull, the Dharmaraji, understood this perfectly. So he understood that ultimately the cause of suffering rests upon the individual living entity. And it is sanctioned by the super soul, the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of every living entity as the witness and the overseer. So as the super soul is situated in the heart of every living entity and is witnessing all the actions we are performing. So there's the analogy of two birds on a tree. So one bird is observing the activities of the other bird, how the other bird is suffering or enjoying. And one bird is avoiding the fruits of the action. So Maharaj Parikshit also understood, therefore it's mentioned here, Maharaj Parikshit was fully satisfied and without mistake or regret, he gave his reply. So Maharaj Parikshit could understand that this is not an ordinary bull, because this bull understands the codes of religion. So he understood that this bull is Dharmaraj. It's interesting that most people think that this world is a place of enjoyment. They do not see this world as a place of suffering. So people think, yes, this world is a place where I can enjoy, I can satisfy my senses, and I can fulfill my aspirations and hopes, and I can have a very good life. Though there are some problems here and there, but you know, there's a lot of good things also. So those good things override the bad things. As long as the bad things are not too many, as long as there's not too many problems, this place is good, and we can adjust the conditions of this world and be happy. So for most people to accept that this world is a place of suffering is very difficult. And then if something goes wrong, people blame someone else. There's, you know, pointing the finger. There's the blame game. You know, blame the politicians. You know, blame your partner, or blame where you're working, blame the boss, or blame people around you, and even blame God. There's this blame game going on. I was reading yesterday's newspaper, which actually this article exemplifies how this world is a place of suffering. So the article says that such and such lady committed a rational suicide. So there was this lady, she used to live in Brighton, and she committed suicide on Monday. So, and then they also had a video. There was a video on the article. If you're on the internet, you can see the video. So they interviewed her before she died, a few days before she died, and she said, you know, I've decided to take my own life because, you know, I had enough with this world. And so I've decided to end it rather than dying a miserable death. So she said, I've had two hip operations. I've had two cataracts and, you know, so many other problems, she said. I've had so many operations and now I don't want to be operated like that again. This, she mentioned some other disease she's been diagnosed with. And in a year, they're going to operate her, a major operation. She said, you know, I've just had enough. And I just want to die. And that should be made legal, she was saying. We can, you know, we should be able to take our own life in a dignified manner. She said, I've had a good life, you know, I've enjoyed. And I also want to end my life in a good way, in a happy way. So I'll just, you know, I'll just kill myself. And then on Monday she had committed suicide. So that actually shows us that this place, world, is a place of suffering. So some people, when they are extremely frustrated, they either commit suicide or they say, okay, we'll become one with God. As Prabhupada says, that's the last snare of Maya. We'll become one with God. So again, the underlying thing is sense gratification. Whether we commit suicide, we become one with God, or we try to rectify the situation by taking treatment. The whole thing is we want to enjoy. So generally for people to admit that this place is a place of suffering, as Krishna says, is very difficult, because they see so much hope for enjoyment. But here we see Maharaj Parikshit, he understood who is the cause of the suffering. He understood that, okay, ultimately it's sanctioned by the Supreme Lord, but there's the direct cause also. And as in the coming verses, we'll hear how Maharaj Parikshit, he's ready to kill Kali. So one who is suffering should think that, okay, I'm suffering because this is because of my own past misdeeds, and that the Supreme Lord is only giving me a token reaction. Whether we have, you know, we might have a serious problem, we might have a serious health problem, or we might be in an accident or whatever. So we should think that, okay, such and such problem is there because, you know, I must have done something negative in my past life. So not only past life, we can even see in this life, before coming to Krishna consciousness, how many sinful activities we perform. Most of us ate meat, gave others a hard time. So it's not that we were, you know, pure saints before we came to Krishna consciousness. And what to speak of previous lives, which we can't even remember what we have done. So the laws of karma are acting very perfectly. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, we should not think, you know, because I've done service for a few years, I'm chanting the Maha Mantra, therefore I'm a holy Joe. You know, that I'm a saint and, you know, nothing should happen to me. You know, I should not suffer. But whatever reaction, whatever suffering we get, is we should see it as it is sent by Krishna. And that's only a token reaction. It could be much worse. So if you, as Prabhupada, you know, one time, one devotee cut his finger or something, Prabhupada said, maybe your hand was meant to be cut. So Krishna is giving us a token reaction so we can, basically to rectify us, so we take up to Krishna consciousness even more seriously. And as we perform bhakti, one of the characteristics of bhakti is kleshagni. It destroys one's karma on different levels. So it destroys the prarabdha, aprarabdha, and even destroys the seeds, and it ultimately destroys the ignorance which is causing all the suffering. So Krishna will give us what we need for our purification. So this is what one should think who is suffering, or so-called suffering. And then, but others should not view the person like that, you know. Others should have compassion. And others should not think, oh, you know, they're suffering because, you know, they're meant to suffer and it's good for them. It's for their purification, true. So Maharaj Parikshit didn't think like this. Okay, yeah, you know, you're suffering, so it's, you know, it's your reaction, you know, and suffer. They keep beating, Kali keep beating him. He didn't think like this. He took out his sword ready to chastise him. So one who's in a position of responsibility should do something about it if something unjust is happening. And others should take compassion upon. So we should feel compassionate for the people who are suffering because of their karma, and we should try to change their karma by giving them Krishna in some way or the other. So, end here. Any questions or comments?
Yes, Prabhu. Oh, brother, just because you mentioned that this woman is suicide, to relieve her suffering, you know, it's because I've experienced a lot of people dying, including my own mother. So when she came out of the hospital, she had terminal cancer in the stomach, which is very painful. And the hospital gave me morphine, but they said, in the end, this won't stop the suffering, you know, if you can get some pure heroin. So I did get the son, she'd take it orally. 3 days before she died, when she was in pain, I heard her mother said, "Do you want some of the medicine?" She said, "No, I won't have it. It'll spoil me all right." She said, I'll just suffer what's coming to."
Mm.
So for the last 3 days, she didn't have anything. She just suffered that, then she left her body. So it's just a different approach to that thing as well. The one thing she said was, "It'll spoil me all right," which is quite an incredible thing to be thinking of at that point. So this is so other people handle suffering differently. You know,
different people.
The suicide thing, this ends up with a ghost point. This is not the way to go.
That's right. Different people have different opinion. She was saying, actually, you know, she looked more or less healthy. It wasn't just she was, you know, lying on the bed. She was sitting on a chair and talking, and she could speak, you know, very nicely. And she said, "Actually, I'm not depressed. I'm very happy, but I don't want to suffer, like, you know, all through all those operations. So I'm going to end my life." She said, "This is a rational suicide. I'm not depressed. You should not think I'm depressed." But we know, you know, this is contradictory what she's saying. Yeah, people have different opinions.
She said it's becoming difficult for me to enjoy more.
Yeah, and she said, "I do not believe in a life after death, you know, I don't believe in all these things, so I'm just going to end my life and that's it." Yes, Prabhupada.
Suicide is not the answer. The worst thing in Vedic culture. Taking a woman
like
that is the last thing, because they become ghosts.
Yeah.
And that's not allowed. Do you want to tell something about Shiva's Thakur? Will they be in the
I actually did not prepare for the class, so there was no one to give, so I gave.
Same
can say it's part of the Panchatattva, Srivas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. So there's Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar and Srivas. So Srivas Thakur is the pure devotee, and Lord Chaitanya performed many pastimes at his house. So we can go to Srivas Angan, which is near ISKCON temple in Mayapur, comes before that. And Lord Chaitanya was having many kirtans there.
Night
kirtans, yeah. Nocturnal kirtans.
Yeah, it's actually a couple hundred meters from Lord Chaitanya's birthplace of Jagannath Mishra across the paddock.
Yeah. Yeah.
They spent a lot of time there because she's banana leaves and his bananas and all these things. He did lots of pastimes.
Yeah. Would you like to add, say something?
No.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.